Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at petoftheday.com or Karen at dogoftheday.com.
And I'm Joel. Joel's here somewhere.
Yeah, the Chicken Joe or Country Joe in question.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And we have our first guest with us, Karina Evans, who we are talking to all the way from across the pond, as they say. Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk, Karina.
Thank you so much.
Now, you had a product that you wanted to talk about called Dog Rocks. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yep, sure, why not? Dog Rocks is an 100% natural rock that, when placed in your dog's water bowl, will stop burn patches appearing on your lawn, shrubs, and hedging from your pet taking a pee. So it's the only natural, 100% natural, hassle-free and non-medicinal product that's a prevention and cure to stop pet urine scorching your lawn. We've sold over 1 million rocks worldwide, and it's been on the market in the UK and Europe for around 10 years. And we're launching this month in the States, so we're really excited. And having used it myself for around 6 years, I can personally vouch for its great success, and also it's so easy to use. I'm sure it will work for chickens as well if you've got that problem. It does work for other household pets.
Now, what is it made of? What does it consist of?
It's just a natural rock that we mine from a particular location in Australia, and it's unique to that particular place, so it's just 100% natural, natural volcanic rock.
Uh-huh. Now, what do they do? Lick it? Eat it? Or
They can do all of that to it, but no, what you need to do is you need to put the rock in the dog's water bowl, and it sits there acting a little bit like a filter. It absorbs from the water the impurities that turn the grass brown.
Uh-huh. Has it been tried on chickens?
I haven't, but I know it has been tried on. It's been tried on rabbits and also cats, but we don't market it for other household pets. We only market it for dogs, purely because most of the time you can regulate where dogs drink their water, whereas for other household pets, including chickens, I guess, we can't really regulate where they drink their water from. So we wouldn't want to market a product if your cat perhaps went wandering off drinking water from other sources and not from a source treated by Dog Rocks.
And so, but Joe, your chickens get their water from a source that you regulate, right?
Right, exactly, yeah. And so we'd put this in their water. And now, what does this do? Does it give them any vitamins or anything?
What it does, it doesn't leach anything out into the water. So you're not putting anything into the water. You're simply taking out of the water some of the impurities that turn the grass brown, which are primarily nitrates. So less nitrates into the drinking water, less nitrates into the dog, and less nitrates out the other end. So it's acting like a filter. And if you can regulate where your pet, whether it's a chicken or a cat or a dog, can drink their water from, then there's no reason why it won't work at all.
Uh-huh. Okay, now how would anybody get this over here in the U.S.?
Over in the UK, it's in any major retailer, both chain and independent, pet, vet, or garden centre. It's also available online, and we're looking for the same kind of distribution in the States. And increasingly, it's available. It's available through many distributors. So just go into your pet store and ask, and it will be available to order. But at the moment, we're looking at having it available at Petco online shortly, and also it's available through other online channels, excuse me, as well as a lot of independent retailers as well. So just ask in your pet store, your vet store, or your garden center.
Do you have your own website where people could go and look at it and read more?
Yep, we sure do. Thank you for the opportunity for that. It's www.dogrocksus.com. That's dogrocksus.com. But just Google Dog Rocks and it will come up. It's fairly widely available, and it's a little bit like a snowball. As people talk about it and people use it, they find that the product sells itself. It's a very effective product, 100% natural, non-medicinal, and very easy to use. So it's widely available.
Now, what is the cost of this?
One pack, which will last you for 2 months, will retail at around $16.99.
Uh-huh. And how do you tell when it's used up? If you say one pack will last 2 months,
yeah, sure. You'll see burn patches appear again. You'll see brown spots appear again. But there is a little diary sticker in each pack so that you can remind yourself when to change the pack.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that's different.
Okay, because this time of year, there's not really any grass out there to turn brown. I'm up outside of Boston, Massachusetts, so you may have seen we got a couple feet of snow over the weekend, so I'm not going to be able to tell what color my grass is for quite a while.
Well, the important thing, though, is to keep using it because the pet urine will seep through the snow onto the grass. So it's important to use it year-round. But really, come into the spring when people are going into their gardens and enjoying being outside again and enjoying their lawns. That's really when the selling season starts. But it makes a great gift. It's a novelty. It's unique. It's small. It's easy to send.
Mm-hmm. Well, it worked down here because I've just mowed my grass. I just mowed my grass today down here, so it would work down here year-round.
Yeah, exactly. And we, you know, for instance, in Australia, our sales are huge in what we would call our English summer. And then, it is seasonal, but, you know, so is the world. The world is seasonal.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's interesting. Uh-huh.
How did you discover this?
Well, it was all through word of mouth. It was one of those old wives' tales that was actually, you know, old wives' tales do tend to be true. And someone years ago at a barbecue in Australia said, "Look what my dog does to my lawn." And someone else said, "I know just the thing. Put this in your water bowl." Excuse me. And it was packaged up and trialed and tested for many years in Australia before we brought it to Europe. And it's just an old wives' tale that's developed into a successful product, which is exciting. Uh-huh. It's a nice kind of verifiable story behind a successful product.
Okay, and now how can we get this here in the U.S. again? So, you know, just remind.
Just Google it or go to dogrocksus.com or ask at your local pet retailer or vet retailer because it's widely available through distributors. But I would, for easiness, you can get it online, dogrocksus.com or through any pet retailer online.
Okay.
Because I'm just thinking if, you know, I went to a local place and they hadn't heard of it, they would look at me like I had three heads. If I said, do you have any dog rocks? And they're like,
they're increasingly becoming aware of it. You know, buyers in the pet industry are increasingly becoming aware of it because it's a successful product in the US and Europe and also Australia. So it's getting out there. It's getting out there.
Uh-huh.
And if you're someone who tends to, you know, instead of going to the big chain stores, if you like to patronize your local businesses, if they haven't heard of it, you can recommend to them that they check it out and might be something
absolutely.
They could get in their
store. Put it on their shelves and it will be, or better still, on their counter. And it's a great impulse buy. People will buy it. It's a great product. And the product sells itself. So once people have used it once, they'll be hooked, and we're delighted to be associated with it. It's a wonderful product, and we even have a lot of members of the royal family in the UK using it, and some wonderful testimonial letters from them as well. So that's really nice.
Wow, it is.
Well, we all know how the Queen loves her dogs, so I'm sure the gardeners like the fact that if she uses it, they don't have to worry about the grass as much.
Absolutely, and her kids. Mm-hmm. So it's an exciting product to be associated with, and I can count on one hand the handful of negative comments that we get per year, and it's usually people not using the product properly. For instance, you need one whole pack in each water bowl, You need to make sure one whole pack is in each water bowl. And sometimes people will misread those instructions. So it's a really nice product to be associated with. The feedback's fantastic. And we're dealing with really nice, caring people, you know, pet owners, who care about their pets and care about their garden. So it's a lovely product to be associated with.
Now does it change the taste of the water for the dog or
not
anything?
Not at all. Doesn't change the taste or the smell, and crucially, it doesn't change the pH balance of the pet's urine.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, that is very interesting. Yeah. And would it be harmful if, for example, you had a Labrador Retriever named Jake who liked to eat rocks? If he decided to
what
eat
we'd
it,
we'd say if your dog is historically a rock chewer or eater. We would recommend that you don't use it. But in the million-plus rocks that we've sold, we've never had anyone come and say, here's a vet's bill. You owe me X, Y, and Z for extracting a rock from my dog's stomach. I guess if your dog is a rock eater or has a habit of swallowing rocks, we would recommend not to use it. But as I say, we've sold over a million rocks worldwide, and we've never had a problem.
Good thing, interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting. And Karina, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you for being with us here today.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for having me any time. And if there's any other products or indeed if you want me to talk further about rocks, I would be delighted to.
Hey, that sounds good.
Okay, folks, you've been listening to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we will be right back with our next guest.
I'm a green chicken.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And we have Dr. Tom Walker. You here, Dr. Walker?
Yes.
Hey. Well, I guess we're going to talk about cotton patch geese and, I don't know, red regal turkeys?
Regal red turkeys.
Regal red turkeys. There we go.
Yeah, they're solid red.
And they're extremely rare. Yeah.
Very rare. We thought they were completely extinct just a few years ago, but a person found a few hidden away, and we've been working on them. I've been working on them now for more than a decade.
Uh-huh.
And but first, so people know a little bit about you. You've been involved in poultry pretty much your whole life, I guess when you were 9 years old?
I grew up in the same community with both my grandparents, both pairs of my grandparents, and grew up in the home of my maternal grandmother and grandfather.
Wow.
Both of my grandmothers had turkeys, and my maternal grandmother saw my interest in turkeys, and when I was 9 years old, she bought me 9 turkey eggs for my birthday present.
There, that's interesting. Were they red regal?
That got me started. No, she bought me some eggs of a new breed that had just been developed. They were called the broad-breasted bronze. Of course, were nothing like the big bulky animals that we have now. They were just a little more mature, a little larger than the regular old heritage bronc.
Oh, okay. So they didn't go like 38 pounds back then, right?
Oh, no. You had in fact, the heritage breeds, because of the feed situation, was not nearly as large as they are now.
Uh-huh.
So if you had a tom that weighed 25 pounds, you had a big one.
Wow. Okay. Now, the Red Regals, what do they run weight-wise?
The Regal Reds that I have, the toms will run around 25, 27 pounds. The females, considerably less than that, about 10 pounds less.
Okay, now when you say they're extremely rare, roughly how many are in existence? Is there any way of knowing that number?
No. I know people that I have let have the poles, but I would have no way of knowing how many they are, but they're very, very scarce. Oh.
And is this a native breed to Texas where you are?
Oh, no, not native. They've been known all over the United States at various places at various times.
Mm-hmm.
They're an older breed, and I cannot understand why they have not caught on, did not catch on, because the beautiful red color, of course, makes them stand out, but the feathers next to their skin is just a light, almost cream color.
Oh,
so
wow.
You have the same benefit from them that you have with the white turkey when you're processing.
Oh, that, uh-huh. Jeez.
You don't have to worry about any black pin feathers.
Now, are they now, is the Regal Red, is that a different breed to get there, to get those, or did they have to breed different turkeys to get that? You know,
I didn't understand that.
The Regals, did they breed different other turkeys to get the Regal Reds?
No. It's a solid colored turkey that came out, of course, the original wild turkeys, just like the White Hollands, the Black Spanish,
mm-hmm.
the Blue Slate, all of the solid colored turkeys came from, of course, the original wild turkey.
Oh.
And so it's just selective breeding that you bred, you know, people bred the reds with the reds to make a distinct breed out of them.
Well, right. Well. They do breed pure. You breed a red to a red, you get a red every time.
Oh, okay. All right, that sounds interesting. Yeah, because I'm looking through a lot of these books, and you can't even find the Regal Red Turkey listed.
No, they just have not been recognized. They certainly have not gained their prominence that they should have had.
Apparently.
Well, they sound like a beautiful bird. Do you have pictures of them anywhere where folks could see?
I have had pictures of them on my computer, but Labor Day weekend 2011, my home, along with 1,700 other homes in our area, burned. And so I went out of the picture business at that time.
Wow. God, I guess. Mm.
Well, now, the other breed, you survived that.
Yes. Now, the other breed that you have is another rare thing. Is it called the Cotton Patch Geese? Now, you told me
yes,
those.
The Cotton Patch Geese, this is the goose that was used across the South to eat the grass in the cotton fields.
That sounds interesting. Tell me.
It is a long-time American goose. The English brought the goose to the colonies back in the early 1600s.
Wow.
It's an auto-sexing goose with the gander's white, and the goose almost a dove gray, a kind of a rusty dove gray in color. Mm-hmm. There are actually two varieties in the breed. the goose of one variety is saddleback. She's white. She has a brown saddle across her back and a brown head. The goose of the other breed, or the other variety, is the rusty dove gray all over, except from her legs back under her tail is white. And she has a small amount of white around the rim of her bill on her face. So the
wow.
the two varieties, the ganders of both varieties, are basically pure white. They have a little coloring on wings and back and so forth, but not much.
Okay, now these came from the pilgrim geese, you told me?
No. They're a completely different breed from the pilgrim. In fact, the pilgrim goose is a new breed developed back in the 1930s in the United States.
Oh, okay.
The cotton patch goose is a goose that was brought over by the English in the early 1600s. It made its way down the Atlantic seaboard, and then when it got down into the South, it was found that they would do a great job of eating the grass in the cotton fields.
Oh, my God.
And they were used to a great extent across the South in eating the grass in the cotton fields. And of course, the small cotton fields in the South were called patches, cotton patches.
Right.
And that's where why we gave them the name cotton patch geese.
Uh-huh. Now, you see, these are extremely rare also, right?
Very rare. I grew up with them. Cousins of mine in Arkansas used them up until the 1950s to eat the grass in their cotton fields. And when I retired in the late 1980s,
mm-hmm.
I thought I'd just go over to Arkansas and get me two or three pairs of geese. I moved out into an area where I could have the geese.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Arkansas, and my cousins and I drove all around over the country, and there were no geese.
Wow.
So over the next several years, in fact, over a period of 2 years, I drove more than 10,000 miles in Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee, just looking for the cotton patch geese that were pure enough that mm-hmm. I could try to bring them back to their erstwhile elegance.
Well, you know, we are just about out of time for this segment. Will you please stick with us? Because I'm sure we have a lot more to talk about with these geese.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to break for a commercial.
Very fine. I'll wait.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show, talking about cotton patch geese.
Now you can walk and exercise your pet no matter what your condition using the bike tow leash. There is nothing like the bike tow leash. It easily attaches to bicycles, electric scooters, and other mobility equipment. It acts like an extra left arm to communicate and to control your pet in the healing position. You can install it in minutes. The bike tow leash is recommended by trainers and used by owners and working dog handlers of all kinds. So now you can get out and have fun and exercise your pet very safely. Go to our website, www.allpawspettalk.com, and go to the sponsor page and hit the bike tow leash banner, or call toll-free 857-245-3364. That number once again, toll-free 857-245-3364.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. And before we get back into our topic, I want to mention to people, I've mentioned that, you know, people could get in touch with you, Dr. Walker. If anybody is interested in getting in touch with Dr. Walker or with myself or with Country Joe or any of the folks on All Paws Pet Talk shows, you just go to allpawspetalk.com. And you'll see a form right there on the homepage where you can ask questions, and you can specify a host or just ask a question. And I think you didn't need to specify if you want to ask a chicken question, they're going to know. It goes to Country Joe.
That's interesting. And that's how they could get a hold of Dr. Walker, right? And
right,
or if they had any questions or interest in the geese.
That's right. Yeah. If they type a message to him, you and I can get it to him. I have his phone number, and we can get that message to him. So any cotton patch geese lurking out there, you know, Dr. Walker wants to know about you.
Yes.
Yes, we would like to know regarding any little remnants, little gaggles of them that are around that we haven't found.
Now, is there any in Europe that you know where they came from? Have you ever checked over there someplace?
Checked into that, but of course, throughout Europe, there are many different kinds of geese. There, I think, are several varieties of autosexing geese. Of course, autosexing simply means that the gander's one color and the goose is another.
Right.
And we have, I think, another interesting goose down along the Gulf Coast, Louisiana, Mississippi area. I found saddleback geese there, autosexing saddleback geese, where the gander was white. The goose was saddleback with orange bills and feet. Now, I'm assuming that those were geese that were brought over by the French in the early days.
Wow.
But they look very much like the cotton patch geese, except like the pilgrim geese, they have orange bills and orange feet.
And how would you tell the difference between a pilgrim goose and one of these saddleback geese?
Well, the pilgrim goose is not saddleback.
Oh,
it is a what we call the solid colored goose. It of course has the white from its legs back under its tail, and has some white on its face. But the saddleback goose is basically white with a brown saddle across her back and a brown head.
Now, are these rare also? Just a rare goose?
Well, the saddleback variety is just one of the varieties of cotton patch geese.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I hadn't heard of those
varieties.
Either.
It has the solid and the saddleback.
Now, how are they temperament-wise? Are they fairly friendly? Because I know some of the bigger geese around here up in New England, there's, in fact, a sewage treatment plant that has big white geese that they use to protect the sheep that graze between the pools.
The cottonpatch goose is a very calm goose. Many of my females, many of my geese, when they were setting, I could put my hand under them and check their eggs and check their babies.
Wow.
Now, you can't do it with all of them.
I know.
Some of the ganders get pretty unruly when their goose is setting. The cottonpatch geese, and I'm not sure how true this is of other geese, but with the cottonpatch goose, the gander is as much of the setting as the goose is.
That's interesting.
He stands guard by her nest. And while she's setting, he's there, and sometimes when she gets off the nest to go get food or water, he will get on the eggs and set on the eggs while she's gone. Then when the babies start hatching, they come out from under the mother, and they start following the gander and start eating grass immediately before the goose is finished hatching.
Wow, that's interesting.
So, They're very much a one-pair goose.
Now, do they mate for life like the Canadian geese do, or are they not
fussy?
They
would like to. Yes, they would like to do that. They're very, very jealous of their mate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting because I've never heard of a male goose being that much of a part of the, you know, of not only the setting and the hatching, but having the ducklings follow him around.
Yeah. Well, Canadian goose is like that.
He does as much of the mothering of the babies as the goose does after they're hatched.
Gosh. It's almost like the Canadian goose. The Canadian goose does that too, right? I guess they mate for life. They won't mate with any other goose, or, you know, and they raise, you know, the father raises the little ones and the whole thing. I guess that's what I understand about the Canadian geese also.
Even though I've traveled in Canada and was on the faculty of the University of North Dakota right up on the Canadian border, and we had a lot of Canadian geese around. Mm-hmm. I'm not a specialist on Canadian geese, so I don't know.
Well, I came from Vermont where there was a lot of them, and I had some friends that had them for pets. And they used to tell me that the male wouldn't mate with any, you know, because he had some female, the mated pair, and the female died, and the male wouldn't mate with any other geese.
Yep. But of course, with Canadian geese, it's hard to tell. For the rest of us, they are not autosex. Their markings are the same, male or female. So those of us that see them up here in New England, we see them, you know, on golf courses or on the town greens or all sorts of places where people don't necessarily want them. You can't tell the difference between the male and the female.
Yeah, yep. Very destructive.
Mm-hmm. They look very much alike, or at least they looked alike to me.
Yeah, but boy, that is something. Boy, when you talk about the cotton patch and no pictures, I mean, I've gone through an extensive book where they list geese I've never heard of, and they don't even have those. That's really interesting. You know, the Shetland goose. I was looking at that one. I've never heard of that one, and I thought that was
actually
a rare goose.
The cotton patch goose did not have a name until some of us decided to call it cotton patch goose. During the days when I was growing up, it just simply was called the goose.
Really?
There was no name to distinguish it. Those were the only kind of geese that we knew in the South.
Isn't that interesting? And they just went by the wayside, almost extinct. Isn't that?
When the pesticides came along and the tractors came along, mm-hmm. The pesticides, of course, you couldn't have the geese when you were spraying the poison and when you were doing big fields with the tractors, the multi-row tractors, mm-hmm. The geese were too small to handle things like that.
And they just vanished, huh? Isn't that interesting? Yep. God, wow. So when did these geese first come to the United States, were you saying?
The early 1600s.
Early 1600s, wow.
So they're part of our
American heritage.
When the
early English colonists came, they brought a lot of their various farm fowls and so forth with them.
Uh-huh. Now, where'd they come from originally?
What
country?
I'm not sure just where in the British Isles they came, but it was from the British Isles that the early ones came. I understand.
Oh, interesting.
And so that would make them more likely separate from the ones that you said might be in the Louisiana, the saddleback geese in the Louisiana area that probably, you know, everybody knows New Orleans was a French port.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, Dr. Walker, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We are just about out of time for this segment. And again, if people want to contact him through us, you can go to allpawspettalk.com. There's a form right there on the homepage. Just scroll down and you can type your questions and we'll get them to Dr. Walker. And we want to thank you so much for being with us today, sir.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, bye-bye. And we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show.
I'm a green chicken. Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. And before we get back into our topic, I want to mention to people, I've mentioned that, you know, people could get in touch with you, Dr. Walker. If anybody is interested in getting in touch with Dr. Walker or with myself or with Country Joe or any of the folks on All Paws Pet Talk shows, you just go to allpaws, P-A-W-S, pettalk.com, and you'll see a form right there on the homepage where you can ask questions, and you can specify a host or just ask a question. And I think you didn't need to specify if you want to ask a chicken question, they're going to know. It goes to Country Joe.
That's interesting, and that's how they could get a hold of Dr. Walker, right? And
right,
if they had any questions or interest in the geese.
That's right. Yeah. If they type a message to him, you and I can get it to him. I have his phone number, and we can get that message to him. So any cotton patch geese lurking out there, you know, Dr. Walker wants to know about you.
Yes.
Yes, okay. We would like to know regarding any little remnants, little gaggles of them that are around that we haven't found.
Now, is there any in Europe that you know where they came from? Have you ever checked over there someplace?
Checked into that, but of course, throughout Europe there are many different kinds of geese. There, I think, are several varieties of autosexing geese. Of course, autosexing simply means that the gander's one color and the goose is another.
Right.
And we have, I think, another interesting goose down along the Gulf Coast, Louisiana, Mississippi area. I found saddleback geese there, autosexing saddleback geese, where the gander was white. The goose was saddleback with orange bills and feet. Now, I'm assuming that those were geese that were brought over by the French in the early days.
Wow.
But they look very much like the cotton patch geese, except like the pilgrim geese, they have orange bills and orange feet.
And how would you tell the difference between a pilgrim goose and one of these saddleback geese?
Well, the pilgrim goose is not saddleback.
Oh,
it is a what we call the solid colored goose. It of course has the white from its legs back under its tail, and has some white on its face. But the saddleback goose is basically white with a brown saddle across her back and a brown head.
Now, are these rare also? Just a rare goose?
Well, the saddleback variety is just one of the varieties of cotton patch geese.
Yeah, they're going to say I hadn't heard of those
varieties.
Either.
It has the solid and the saddleback.
Now, how are they temperament-wise? Are they fairly friendly? Because I know some of the bigger geese around here up in New England, there's, in fact, a sewage treatment plant that has big white geese that they use to protect the sheep that graze between the pools.
The cotton patch goose is a very calm goose. Many of my females, many of my geese, when they were setting, I could put my hand under them and check their eggs and check their babies.
Wow.
Now, you can't do it with all of them.
I know.
Some of the ganders get pretty unruly when their goose is setting.
Mm-hmm.
The cotton patch geese, and I'm not sure how true this is of other geese, but with the cotton patch goose, the gander is as much of the setting as the goose is.
That's interesting.
He stands guard by her nest. And while she's setting, he's there. And sometimes when she gets off the nest to go get food or water, he will get on the eggs and sit on the eggs while she's gone.
Yeah,
then when the babies start hatching, they come out from under the mother, and they start following the gander and start eating grass immediately before the goose is finished hatching.
Wow, that's interesting.
So they're very much a one-pair goose.
Now, do they mate for life like the Canadian geese do, or are they not
fussy?
They
would like to.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they would like to do that. They're very, very jealous of their mate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting because I've never heard of a male goose being that much of a part of the, you know, of not only the setting and the hatching, but having the ducklings follow him around.
Well, Canadian takes over,
he does as much of the mothering of the babies as the goose does after they're hatched.
Gosh. It's almost like the Canadian goose. The Canadian goose does that too, right? I guess they mate for life. They won't mate with any other goose or, you know, and they raise, you know, the father raises the little ones and the whole thing, I guess. That's what I understand about the Canadian geese also.
Even though I've traveled in Canada and was on the faculty of the University of North Dakota right up on the Canadian border, and we had a lot of Canadian geese around, mm-hmm. I'm not a specialist on Canadian geese, so I don't know.
Well, I came from Vermont where there was a lot of them, and I had some friends that had them for pets. And they used to tell me that the male wouldn't mate with any, you know, because he had some female, the mated pair, and the female died, and the male wouldn't mate with any other geese.
Yep. But of course, with Canadian geese, it's hard to tell for the rest of us. They are not autosex. Their markings are the same, male or female. So those of us that see them up here in New England, we see them, you know, on golf courses or on the town greens or all sorts of places where people don't necessarily want them. You can't tell the difference between the male and the female.
Yeah, yep. Very destructive.
Mm-hmm. They look very much alike, or at least they looked alike to me.
Yeah. But, boy, that is something. Boy, when you talk about the cotton patch and no pictures, I mean, I've gone through an extensive book where they list geese I've never heard of, and they don't even have those. That's really interesting. You know, the Shetland goose, I was looking at that one. I've never heard of that one, and I thought that was
actually
a rare goose.
The cotton patch goose did not have a name until some of us decided to call it cotton patch goose. During the days when I was growing up, it just simply was called the goose.
Really?
There was no name to distinguish it. Those were the only kind of geese that we knew in the South.
Isn't that interesting? And they just went by the wayside, almost extinct. Isn't that? That's,
well, when
that's...
the pesticides came along and the tractors came along, mm-hmm. The pesticides, of course, you couldn't have the geese when you were spraying the poison and when you were doing big fields with the tractors, the multi-row tractors.
Mm-hmm.
The geese were too small to handle things like that.
And they just vanished, huh? Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
God, wow. So when did these geese first come to the United States, were you saying?
The early 1600s.
Early 1600s. Wow.
So they're part of our
when the early
American
English colonists
heritage.
Came, they brought a lot of their various farm fowls and so forth with them.
Uh-huh. Now, where'd they come from originally?
What
country?
I'm not sure just where in the British Isles they came, but it was from the British Isles that the early ones came. I understand.
Oh, interesting.
And so that would make them more likely separate from the ones that you said might be in the Louisiana, the saddleback geese in the Louisiana area, that probably, you know, everybody knows New Orleans was a French port.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, Dr. Walker, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We are just about out of time for this segment. And again, if people want to contact him through us, you can go to allpawspettalk.com. There's a form right there on the homepage. Just scroll down and you can type your questions and we'll get them to Dr. Walker. And we want to thank you so much for being with us today, sir.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And we'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. Now, we were talking about cotton patch geese. Joe, have you ever had geese of your own? I know you have turkeys and you have chickens.
No, my neighbor does, and she's been trying to give me geese, and I just haven't had any. I don't have a pond, and I guess you really don't need a pond, but like I said, my neighbor has two of the big white Chinese geese, and she has more than two, but she has two troublemakers, and they're brothers, and Larry and Gary, and she's always trying to give me these geese every time I go over to her house because they get in trouble. They pick on every other bird. That she has a great big pond full of all kinds of exotic ducks and rare ducks and other rare geese. She doesn't have any cabbage or cotton patch geese, but and these two geese are always causing fights and troubles, and she's saying, these geese want to go home with you, Joe. And I keep saying, no, they don't. So
yeah,
that,
I don't know how your dog could appreciate a troublemaking goose or two.
Oh, and as soon as you pull into her driveway, they come right at you. And that's the best alarm system in the world is these geese. I mean, they just run down the road honking and honking, and they don't stop. They would drive me nuts, but she loves them. But she just absolutely –
Well, that's right. You know, the male geese in particular, I've known a friend of mine had a goose that he was raising for 4-H, and he was a male, and he was very defensive of his property. And I, as a child, you know, always wanted to pet whatever animal was there, and they said, don't you dare. And Tommy stuck a pencil through the fence, and the goose just snapped the pencil right in half, and he said, that could be your finger.
Yeah, and when they put their necks or their heads down to the ground, that means that's like a dog going to attack you, and that's yeah, when you can tell. And when they
just back slowly away.
Oh, yeah. And every time, and she says, oh, just don't pay any attention to him. I said, well, how do you not pay attention to a goose that's 4 foot tall, you know?
Foot tall and announcing its presence.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's putting his head down and they run towards you and they hiss and they hit you with their wings, the whole thing. I mean, you know, now they're getting used to me. So, but they still honk. But I'll tell you what, anybody ever wants it to guard anything, that is the best thing going.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. It's a sewage treatment plant that has, you know, they have, all of them have these big pools and between them there's grass and they had sheep. And of course, stray dogs were harassing the sheep until somebody got the idea and they got some geese. And the dogs will come nowhere near those sheep anymore.
Yeah. Well, she has an English bulldog that won't go out of the house because of these geese. And because they go right after them. I mean, they go after anything on four legs. And that's what she says. You got to own Larry and Gary. I got to get rid of them. And I says, I'm not going to take Larry and Gary. So she's been actively trying to find somebody that wants them, and I've been trying to help her out. And they're young geese too. I mean, they're only about a year old, but boy, they just set up their perimeter, and that's it. Nobody gets in. And they're just rugged little rugged things. If I had something I wanted to guard, I'd grab them. I'd take them. But
you need to find somebody who doesn't like their neighbors.
Yeah, but boy, they just go from morning till night. You know, that's all they do is honk, and you know when anything's around. But yeah, I find these interesting. And a lot of her other geese don't make any noise. She has a lot of these other kind of geese. They just don't make any noise, really. I mean, I guess they let Larry and Gary do all the hollering.
That's right. They figure that they've got that department well taken care of.
Yeah, but she's got them all. I mean, she's got the pilgrim geese and all these other kind, and the gray goose and all of those, and you know they honk, but nothing like those big white Chinese. And that's what she said. They used to use them for guards, I guess, in Europe around the castles and stuff. That's what she was telling me a little bit about them. But yeah, I find those really interesting, but not interesting enough to own, I guess.
Now you have chickens and turkeys when around your farm. Who mm-hmm. is the alarm caller? Who lets you know if somebody strange is in your farm? Is it your dog, your turkeys, or who hollers loudest?
No, it's actually my dog. The chickens, they don't pay any attention to anybody, and the turkeys don't either. That is really funny. I got to tell you a really funny one. About 100 yards away from my chicken coop, I have my fence around my pool, my house, and chickens never come over there. And then one day I noticed a chicken was roosting on my pool fence. I mean, like sleeping. And this was the funniest thing. And I was watching her out the window, and I said to my wife, "Oh, look at the chicken. She's sleeping on the fence," and she was facing the pool. Well, my little dog ran out and barked, scared her. She jumped into the pool, and this is when I found out that a chicken can swim.
Well, you know, we have with us our next guest, who is Kent Baumgartner, and he is also someone who has some of the cotton patch geese. Wow. Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk, Kent.
Hello.
Hey. Yeah, that's right. You got some or had some geese from cotton patch geese from Dr. Walker, right?
Yes, I got a start from Mr. Tom Walker back in 2006.
Wow, yeah, because he was saying he hardly has any more. I didn't know if you knew about his fire. He was telling us about the fire yeah. where it's a lot of his geese and whatnot. So I guess he's almost out of cotton patch geese. So,
well, he's Mr. Walker's in his golden years now, and he's done a lot already to help preserve them from extinction. You know, he's probably the number one person, you know, that went around and gathered them back up from I don't know how many different states in the Southeast, you know, to try to restore them to what they once were.
Yeah, he said 10,000 miles he put on trying to find these geese. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, he's a real interesting guy to talk to. But now, how many do you have cotton patch geese?
Right now I have, there's 15 pair, and wow. then there's three extra ganders back.
Oh.
The three bachelor boys?
Yeah, two of them have kind of bonded together, and the third one is kind of like a loner.
Well,
I don't know if that's just because of there's not enough females to go around, or they chose to do that, or what. I'm not sure, you know. But they really, you know, they don't interfere with anything really, so.
Now, are they noisy like the white Chinese goose? Or
no, they're at this time of year, you know, they're starting to come into their mating season, so they're a little more vocal. But no, I see. I have the Chinese also. They're nothing like the Chinese. The Chinese are, my wife says, they're bickerers. They're always fighting and bickering and making noise. And the cotton patcher are a more quiet, sedate goose.
Uh huh. Now, do you have a pond? You know, Dr. Walker says he doesn't have a pond and they don't need one. I always thought geese needed a pond or water, but apparently not, huh?
I have a pond, and they get out, usually in the afternoon from noon until dark. Mm-hmm. They're out. But, you know, for mating purposes, a kiddie pool will do it.
Wow.
That's what I keep back there, you know, all the rest, that's their water supply, and then you just can't keep waterfowl from getting in their water.
Right.
You know, so you might as well just give them something that they can use and wash it out every day.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That, you know, that's what I get. They have back in their lockup area. I have to have a secure area at night because we have predators.
Yeah, that was my next question. Yeah.
Yeah. They, we have, I don't know, we have just about everything, you know. Mm-hmm. I did have a fox that was being a real big problem for a while. And what else have we had? We've had raccoons. I guess a raccoon's not a real bad problem for a grown goose.
Mm-hmm.
Would certainly be a problem for your goslings and your eggs. And then, of course, you know, in the pond, you got the, if an alligator moves in, you know, which
that's
I
right.
had so, that.
You're in South Florida, right?
That's correct, right, yeah. And they can be in any fresh water, and you may not even know they're there for a while, you know, because they're basically nocturnal, and unless you're really paying attention, they could be there for a while, and you don't even know it.
Have you
all
lost
them? Your goose population goes down.
Yeah. Have you lost
I lost one female. I was leaving for work, and I glanced out at the pond, and I seen it swimming upside down. I'm like, what is that goofy goose doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I went and got the binoculars, and I'm looking, and about the time I focus in on the goose upside down, I see an alligator head.
Oh, wow.
So he'd taken a head off of a female. So
wow.
That's a predator we don't worry about here up in, the, in New England.
Yeah.
And we got them around here, too, yeah. So anyways, yeah, these geese, do you sell your cotton patch geese?
Yes, you know, I sell adults. I'll carry them to shows that I go to, you know, if somebody calls and wants them. But what has become easiest for people, and I think what a lot of people like to do, is the babies.
Uh-huh.
'Cause they are really cute. You know, baby ducks and baby geese, I don't know if there's anything that's any more cute than them.
That's
so,
true.
You know, I've started hatching off babies, you know, for my breeding pairs. And then I mail them off, you know, by express mail.
Oh.
So I've already got some orders to fill. They started early this year. I've got the first group of eggs in the incubator for like a week and a half already. So.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, how much do you get for baby cotton patch geese? Are they expensive?
Some people are. I'm trying to make it affordable for people because I want to get people interested. I want to get people to raising the breed so that we can get have a qualifier meet and get them in the standard. So I offer them at $20 a gosling.
Well, that's not bad.
And I realize that's a lot less than what other people are charging, but like I said, I'm trying to get them out there, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the more we get them out there, the better, the healthier the general population will be.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it spreads out the gene pool. Yeah, and you know, and the more you can get out there, the more you get people interested in them. And they're very nice little goose. Now I haven't tried roasting any, you know, but obviously that was one of their initial purposes. You know, when the British brought them over here, when they colonized the country, you know, they brought the sex-linked goose with them.
Right.
And obviously that was one of their purposes. It was a food supply.
That's right. You know, we are just about out of time for this segment. Kent, will you stick with us for one more?
I will indeed.
Thank you. We've got so much more to talk about. Folks, you've been listening to All Paws Pet Talk Country Joe's Chicken Show, and we will be right back with more.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show, where we are talking with Kent Baumgartner and, of course, with Country Joe about cotton patch geese.
Uh-huh. Now, Kent, I had a question. I was just wondering, would you consider the cotton patch goose be the rarest goose of all of them?
No, I don't think so. I'm sure that there's others that are, you know, that are probably... You know, something that I haven't heard of, probably, you know.
Well, the cotton patch geese was new to me.
Yeah, it's definitely on the endangered list, you know, the critical yeah. list, you know. But I don't know that it's the rarest, you know. It's
And from your description.
Because I can't find a picture of them anywhere, you know.
It sounds like a very nice, it's a small goose and not like the Chinese, you know, not something you'd use to defend your yard against any intruders.
Right. If you look, you know, if you try looking on the internet for them, they very closely resemble the gray lag goose, which was the wild goose that most of our domestics have come from. Mm-hmm. And they very closely resemble it in body type and, really in color also, the female, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And they can fly.
yeah, that's what Dr. Walker was saying. That's why I asked him. Do they fly far and high? And, you know, I was trying to get, you know, some, you know, when I think of a goose flying, I think of a Canadian goose, you know. I guess that's mm-hmm. what I'm thinking of. Do they fly anywhere like that?
I don't know that they go that high. You know, they will, you know, before I had the other breeds of geese, I had the cotton patch first, and I couldn't get them to stay where I wanted them to, you know, because they would easily clear the fences. So I had to clip the wings on the female. If I clipped the wings on the females and grounded them, the males didn't go anywhere without the females.
Wow.
Then after I started raising the Chinese and the Emdoms, mm-hmm. The cotton patch never did that anymore because, you know, I don't know that they, I'm thinking maybe they were afraid they were going to miss out on food or something, you know, if they flew somewhere where the Emdoms and the Chinese weren't, you know.
I have seen them
as high as my big barn, which is probably close to 20 feet, and they can take off without a run. I mean, just spring up in the air and clear a fence. Or clear you trying to grab them. So it isn't like they have to have a running start, running and flapping along the ground. I mean, they're gone, you know.
Wow.
But they realize where home is, you know, and I never have any problem with them going over on a neighboring farm or anything like that. They stay right here.
Now, Kent, and if anybody's interested in buying these geese, they could get a hold of you, right? And you'd be willing to ship them, or you know, the
absolutely, mm-hmm. my schedule's not full yet. I'm taking orders still.
Okay.
And how would someone contact you?
There's my phone number. Do you want me to give my phone number?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Area code 239-731-1345. That's probably the easiest way to initiate something.
Okay.
And I'd get back to somebody because that's, you know, it's in the house and I'm rarely in the house. But
right.
I do get back to people. Mm-hmm. You know, they can leave a message for me. They're not a real big egg layer. If you keep taking their eggs, you can get two, maybe sometimes three clutches out of them.
Uh-huh.
Which is what I normally do, you know, to keep the numbers up, you know, to, like I said, I'm very interested in getting them out there to as many people as will have them.
Great.
Now you say two or three clutches, is that per year, month?
Per female, yeah, per female, yeah. The females usually have 7 to 10 in a clutch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens is that a female goose lays approximately every other day. And when she has her, and somehow this is one of those biological things we don't know, when she's done and she knows when she's done, then she goes broody. Well,
I've been taking the eggs all along, and I'll stick a chicken egg or a fake egg under there, you know, to keep her laying in the same place.
Right.
But when she's done, even though there's only one in that nest, that fake egg in there, that's when she starts setting.
Right.
Well, that's when she goes broody. At that point, then I'll tear the nest site out, and that induces them to start over again.
That's
interesting. About a week or two, they'll start again.
Wow. So they only lay just in the spring, right? I mean, they don't lay year-round.
That's correct. No, they I imagine, you know, places further north, you know, they're probably February, March, maybe they start. Mine start a little bit early this year. Usually they start about the first or second week of February. And this year, I think it was January 16th, I think they started laying.
Wow. So if anybody's interested, now's the time to be getting a hold of you. You know,
absolutely, yes. Uh-huh.
And you know, if they didn't remember the phone number, you can always, as I said earlier in the show, if you go to allpawspetttalk.com and scroll down on the homepage, there's a form right there where you can ask any questions. And if you leave us a message, we will get you in touch with Kent if you want to maybe are thinking about getting some cotton patch geese of your own.
Yeah, that's interesting. Or they could call me. Yeah, or you.
That's right. And are they a goose that would – I know they're prevalent in the South. Are they a goose that would do well in different climate areas?
Yeah, I've them up to – well, they're covered with goose down, you know.
Yeah.
Where they have a good insulator. And when they start from babies, you know, they do well. I've already mailed them. I've got some up in Michigan. I'm about to mail some to Wisconsin. That goose has actually spread, you know, when the British came, you know, when they colonized the country, they were colonized, you know, along the whole East Coast. So that goose is actually spread out. It was prevalent down here, known as the cotton patch goose, because we were growing cotton down here,
mm-hmm.
and they were weeding the cotton patch. But I'm sure if you got up into the, you know, further north, up into the Northeast or something, they were weeding the cornfield or the strawberries or whatever it is that they grow up there, you know.
Yeah, cotton doesn't do well up here in Boston.
Actually, it doesn't grow down here where I'm at either.
But, I can grow it.
You know.
Yeah, I've tried growing cotton down here in Central Florida, and it did. I actually got some cotton plants.
Oh, well, I'm surprised. You know, because it's like the grain, we can't grow grain down here. We have to truck all of our grain in.
Yeah.
But if you want an orange or a winter vegetable, we've got that, right?
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Boy, and that's fun this time of year, Karen. I've got orange trees. Oh, they're all ready to go right now.
Well, you know, we see them in the supermarket this time of year, and I know everybody from Florida has told me that, yeah, what I get in the supermarket is not a real orange compared
that's
to what
right.
you pick off the tree.
That's probably true.
Now, Ken, do you have any other kind of you were talking, you have some Chinese geese also, right?
Yes, I have Chinese. I exhibit the Chinese, and I've just started. Well, the emdoms, you know, it takes about 3 years to grow off a good emdom.
Wow.
So I'm just coming up on year three with my beginning with my emdoms. So, I haven't done a whole lot with them yet.
Yeah. And now you were saying that you also have raised fancy pigeons.
Yes, I breed and show pigeons also.
Wow, that's interesting.
There's probably close to 200 breeds of pigeons. Yeah, it's just like the poultry world, you know, only it's another world, you know.
God, wow. Well, that all keeps you busy, I bet.
Right now it's a lot of fun, but basically it's almost a second job. You know, if it wasn't fun, you know, I probably wouldn't be doing it.
I know. I know with all my chickens and my turkeys, I see the same thing every day, you know, because you got to be there 7 days a week. And that's what I say. Boy, if I didn't enjoy it, it'd be a real drudgery. Everybody says, Joe, how do you do it? But I just enjoy it, and I know what you mean. But, boy, pigeons is a whole different thing.
Well, you know, gentlemen, we are just about out of time for this week.
Are we?
Okay. We are. Kent, I want to thank you so much for being with us. And folks,
you
are listening.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
You're listening to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. And if you want to listen online at any time, it's WPETTalkRadio.com. Or, of course, you can contact any of us at allpawspettalk.com.